This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning again. Long time no see. I love that song. That is one of my favorite songs. Great is your faithfulness. From the setting sun to the rising same, I will praise your name. I love that song. I hope you do too. Hey, you want to know what else I love? I love this time of year, like post-Christmas this time of year. I love it. Like 2024 is almost over. It's like out with the old, in with the new. 2025 is almost here. There's a season of change, which, by the way, Bob, this is the only time that Brandon likes change. The only time. If you're trying to change my world outside of this day, I'm not your fan. But now it's great. Everything's changing, and that's wonderful. I'm a fan. That's my perspective on this time of year. What I'd like to know, what I want to find out, is what is your perspective on this time of year. So to do that, to drive this home, to learn who you are, I want to do a little bit of a show of hands kind of experiment here. So I'm going to rattle off a few different groups of people, and as I get to your people, who you are, raise your hand. So the first group are those who often tend to look back more. So you're the people, whether good or bad, this time of year, end of year, you reminisce. You look back. You remember all the fond memories or maybe the not so fond memories. Maybe you remember what happened this year. Maybe you have a list. I remember growing up, my dad at the end of every year would make a list of all the things that he and my mom accomplished that year or did or projects that they built. He was a looker backer. So who are my people who look back and reminisce or wonder? Raise your hands high. Don't be shy. Excellent. We got a few of them. Okay, you're my looker backer people. All right, so opposite, who of you then tend to look more ahead? So this time of year, yeah, you guys are so far ahead of me. Your hands are already up. That's great. You look ahead. So you've got big hopes and big plans and big uncertainties. And whether it's good or bad, you tend to look more to the future. That's good. Excellent. All right, one more group. Who's honestly, if we can just be very vulnerable with one another, who's struggling just to keep it together and you don't care what year it is, you're just trying to make it one more day? Bob, I'm with you, bud. Me too. But then who's indifferent, like in a good way? You're joyful in season and out of season, no matter what. You're just happy to be here, happy for the new year. Hey, Sherry, yeah, I had a feeling your hand would be up with that one. Those are the fun people to be around, by the way. Sue and Sherry, yeah, be around them. We've established that most of us, whether you raised your hand or not, you have some perspective on this time of year and New Year's and the change in season. Now hold that thought in your mind. I want to overlay something that actually Patrick taught a few weeks ago on the concept of dwelling. Concept of dwelling, it's where you stay. Dwelling is where you remain. It's like where you pitch your tent. It's your flag on the hill. You're saying, this is where I am. This is where I remain. And what I want to do is actually overlay that concept of dwelling with this concept of change of season together and ask one big question, which is our big question for the morning. It is this: with all that you've experienced in 2024 or all that might await you in 2025, where will you choose to dwell? I saw your hands a second ago for some of you, but to get really specific here, where will you pitch the tent of your mind, of your body, of your spirit, day to day? Will you constantly dwell in the past? Or will you constantly dwell in the future? Or will you detach and purposefully avoid dwelling anywhere at all? On this last Sunday of the year, my prayer for this morning is that the Holy Spirit would show us exactly where He wants us to dwell as we find and follow Jesus. To get there, we're going to take a look at three parts, the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Open your Bibles, go there on your phones, Acts chapter 20. We're actually going to have the verses on the screen in the NLT version today, the New Living Translation. I'm a big fan of the NLT. So that's how they'll be on the screen. Acts chapter 20. To set this up and give you a little bit of context of the book of Acts in chapter 20, Luke wrote the book of Acts. That's the same Luke that wrote the book of Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. And in this part of the book, he is chronicling Paul's missionary journey. The Apostle Paul took three missionary journeys that we have recorded in the scriptures. And on this journey, Paul went around the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea from city to city and church to church that he helped plant or helped grow. And he's kind of making his way from city to city on this journey. And now he's on his backtrack leg, heading back towards Jerusalem. And he's kind of sailing from city to city, and he kind of approaches Ephesus, which is the same city that the book of Ephesians was written to, the city of Ephesus. But he kind of bypasses it and goes down to the next city of Miletus. But he wanted to talk to the elders who were at the church in Ephesus. So he sent word ahead and said, hey, come and meet me, which is about the distance from like Winston to Greensboro, maybe a little bit further, like 40 miles or so. But remember, they didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles back then. So they walk in 40 miles or so to come meet this guy, Paul, because he has something for us. Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem, and he was pretty sure that he wasn't going to make it out of there alive. He was pretty sure that Jerusalem was the end of his days. And so before he went there, he wanted to get one final word to the Ephesian elders, this church in Ephesus. And so in Acts chapter 20, what we see is Paul's communication to them, this last hope, this last encouragement before Paul goes on. And so we pick up the story in Acts chapter 20, verse 18. We'll pick it up there and we'll read through some verses on this first part. 18 says, when they, that's the Ephesian elders, when the Ephesian elders arrived, he, Paul, declared, you know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I've done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I've endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. Quick question, church. Going back to your grade school days, what tense is Paul speaking in here? Past, present, future, what tense? Say it out. Past, everybody agree with Lori? Good. Okay, so quick side note, Brandon's kind of a participatory kind of guy, okay? So you're going to get some questions through this morning. Feel free to speak. It's totally okay. I promise it's okay to speak in church. Yes, Paul's talking in past tense. He's looking back. Paul glances back to what was. We're going to look closer at this passage. If you have your Bibles, if you're one of those types of people that write in your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to circle some phrases or underline some phrases. Paul glanced back here. In verse 19, I want you to pay attention to the phrase, humbly with many tears. When Paul glanced back, he knew the work wasn't about him. That's what it means to be humble. It means to not think so much of yourself, but to think of others. He knew it wasn't about Paul. It was the Lord's work, and it was not easy. Paul looked back. He saw tears. He saw anguish. He saw suffering. Also, verse 19, maybe circle or pay attention to the phrase, endured the trials. He endured trials, especially from the Jews, which should be shocking. The Jews, who should have been closest to God, were most adversarial to the message that Paul had from God. So as Paul looked back, he saw the constant threat. He endured those trials. Verse 20, maybe circle the phrase, never shrank back. I like that phrase. That's a good encouragement. Paul never shrank back. For Paul, it was always go time, always game time. He had one message, and he told them what they needed to hear. Paul never shrank back from telling people what they needed to hear. Note, not what they wanted to hear. He never shrank back. And here's that one message. Maybe circle the phrase, had one message. The single message that Paul preached continuously was repentance and faith. That is the two requirements for salvation, repentance and faith. When Paul looked back, he saw a steadfastness that he clung to the message of repentance and faith. That's what Paul saw when he glanced back. And so for us today, I want to give you an encouragement here. I want you to glance at what God has brought you through, but then keep going. The idea of keeping on going kind of reminds me of an illustration of Boy Scouts, another participation thing here. Guys, how many fellows grew up in Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts? Raise them high. So Patrick, anybody else? Tom? Okay, so these are the guys you want to go see if you need a campfire started, preferably not inside, right? from Buildings and Grounds? Good. So do your campfires outside, but these are the guys you want to see for that. When I was in Boy Scouts, one of the things that we often did was rowboating. I didn't really like rafting or canoeing. I tipped over too much. But in rowboating, if you know this, and when you sit in a rowboat and you row like this, and to row forward, you look backward. And so to go across a lake, I might pick a spot on the horizon over there. For instance, I'm going to pick that Dell laptop computer, whatever, back in the sound booth. If I want to row across, as long as I keep that spot in my sight and I start rowing, I know I'm going straight. If I start to get off track and that spot is off to my peripheral, I know I've gone off and I recorrect and go forward. And see, to row, you go forward by glancing backwards. And I would say here, this can be really, really effective this time of year, just for a time, as long as you keep rowing. Look, if you fell short in the past year, make peace with it. Remember who God says he is. Learn from what he brought you through. Scripture is full of examples on how to look back, learn, and move forward. And hey, the church is here to help. If you need help with that, please see us. We want to help you. Maybe you did fall short last year, but listen, keep rowing. If you experienced hardship in 2024, praise God that he brought you through. Okay, maybe it was just by the skin of your teeth, but be thankful for his mercy that you made it through. Look, maybe 2024 was a year to forget, but keep rowing. The idea in this first part, my hope for you, is to get this. It's okay to glance back, and sometimes it's even good, as long as you don't dwell there. As long as you do not dwell in the past. Go to the second section with me. So it's Acts 20, verses 22 and 23. Let's see what Paul says next. He says, "And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead." That's okay. Quiz time again. What tense is Paul loosely speaking in here? What's he looking at? What's that? Future. Perfect. Yeah. So first Paul glanced back, then Paul glances ahead. So let's take a look at these verses here. Look closer, draw circles, pay attention to these phrases. Verse 22, he says, "I'm bound by the Spirit to go." In some of your versions, you might have the words that he is compelled to go. There was something in Paul that he couldn't shake, even if he wanted to. There was something bigger than Paul in Paul that he could not reject. And that thing is the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, he doesn't know what awaits. Circle, don't know what awaits. This is so important for this part of the passage because uncertainty is real and Paul accepts it. Verse 23, circle, the Holy Spirit tells me. The Holy Spirit tells me. You see, Paul was never alone. Even when he was alone, he wasn't really alone. He had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted Paul, he communicated with Paul, and he comforted Paul. And that same Holy Spirit that did all these things with Paul is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you if you're a follower of Christ. You see, as Paul glanced ahead, he knew that the Holy Spirit would be there every step, but even so, he had to accept that he didn't know what awaited him in Jerusalem. For us today, I want you to know that it's okay to not know what awaits. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. All it takes is one phone call, one freak accident, one broken blood vessel. That's all it takes to turn your world upside down. So look, plan for the future. Yes, fine, I'm a planner, fine. Plan for the future. I'm good with that, especially when there's significance or deep conviction, but hold those plans loosely in your grip. Get comfortable with the fact that you are not the one who is ultimately in control of the future. Therefore, it's okay to glance ahead, and sometimes it's even good, as long as you don't dwell there. Go to the third part. This is where Paul really ramps up. Acts 20, verse 24. He says this, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing of the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." What tense? Present. Yeah, Sue got it. Gold star, by the way. Yeah, so first Paul glanced back, and then Paul glanced ahead, and now Paul gets focused on the assignment of the present. Look closer, circle these phrases. First of all, he knew it was worth nothing. Worth nothing. Paul knew how to spot worth in work. He knew how to see eternal value. And namely, that eternal value was found in the work assigned. The work assigned. You see, you get this. Paul's ministry, we talk a lot in church and in Bible and New Testament, like Paul's ministry, the ministry of Paul. Well, get this. Paul's ministry wasn't Paul's idea. It came from Jesus to Paul. What was Paul's ministry? It was the ministry of telling others. Love that phrase. Circle it, underline it, highlight it. The object of Paul's ministry wasn't Paul either. So first of all, his ministry wasn't his idea. And second of all, he wasn't the object of his ministry. It was other people. And what was he supposed to tell them? He was to tell them this beautiful phrase. He was to tell them the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Is the good news. Call that the gospel. And this is the gospel. That God, infinite and outside of time, created all that is or all that there ever was. God created, including man, and man separated. Man sinned against God and broke the relationship between God and man. That sounds like bad news, and it is. But the good news comes with the fact that God didn't leave that relationship broken. God said, no, I'm going to make a way for this relationship to be restored. And that way is Jesus Christ. That way, singular, the one, only way to back to right relationship with the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. And so he sent his Son to die on a cross, take on the sin of the world on his behalf so that Jesus could declare all of it his. That anyone who believes in Jesus, believes on him and what he said and what he did, have everlasting life with the Father. Relationship restored. And that is good news. That is the gospel. That's what Paul couldn't help but tell others, because it was the work assigned to him, and without it, his life was worth nothing. Go back to our big question from the start. I asked you, where will you choose to dwell? And I got thinking, like, how would Paul answer this? Like, if Paul just happened to walk in that door, first of all, but second of all, like, Paul, how would you answer this? What advice would you give us, my friend? And I think he would say something like this. Dwell in the assignment from Jesus to tell others the good news of God's grace. It is that simple. See, Paul's dwelling wasn't in a place, but in a purpose. This was his motivation. This was his pitched tent. This was his mission, his ministry, his reason for getting up in the morning. I want you to really focus in on this assignment, this purpose, this thing on the screen, not just for Paul. This assignment is not just for Paul. The what of this assignment applies to every follower of Jesus, and that includes you and me. Quick point, though, just to clarify, the what of this assignment to tell others, that's universal. That's non-negotiable. If you're a finder or follower of Jesus, you are now to tell others. That's the what. But the how might look different. The how will be unique for each of us, okay? Your race, your how, is going to be different than Paul's. The what is different from the how. And I want to drive this home with an illustration. I was thinking this through, what versus how. I'm going to give you assignment. This is a make-believe assignment. But here's the assignment. Y'all know the Blue Ridge Parkway? How many have driven on the Blue Ridge Parkway? Well, I like raising hands. Okay, so a lot of you know the Blue Ridge Parkway. Here's your assignment. Your assignment is to travel from end to end on the Blue Ridge Parkway and experience every turn. From Rockfish Gap, Virginia, all the way to Cherokee, North Carolina, 469 beautiful miles. It is the perfect day, the perfect weather. The road is completely open and not broken. Here's the cool part. You can take any legal vehicle that you want. Name it, you got it. Any mode of transportation you want, you can take. You want to take a Ferrari? Fine. You want to take a tour bus? Okay. You want to take a unicycle? Knock yourself out. So here's my question for you. Your assignment is to travel the Blue Ridge Parkway. What vehicle are you taking? What are you taking? What was it? Say it loud. What was it? Your car? Excellent. What kind of car is it? A Dodge Dart. Okay, so you're going fast on the Blue Ridge Parkway. Excellent. What else? What are you taking? Motorcycle, my man. I'm the same. Yes, that's the only way to, well, we'll go. What else are you taking? Rodney, what are you taking on the Blue Ridge Parkway? Sports car of some sort. Absolutely. What was that? A limo with a buffet. For those online, that came from the sound booth. That's my wife. She wants a limo with a buffet. A Camaro. There you go. We're getting into it. Okay, so regardless of what vehicle you would take, okay, if you had it and you got it and you drove end to end, would you achieve the what of the assignment, which was to travel the Blue Ridge Parkway? Yes. Would you have experienced it? Would you have fulfilled the assignment by different hows? Also, yes. It's very important in biblical theology and biblical interpretation to distinguish what's from hows so that you don't get trapped in trying to replicate something that you were never meant to replicate. The how of sharing the good news will be unique for each of us, and that's okay. The what does not change. You are to tell people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for some of you, your how will look like this. You need to start a ministry that doesn't already exist because it's on your heart and you know you should. And that's how you'll express the how of sharing the gospel and telling others. For some of you, you need to declare truth to folks who need to be restored. That's your passion. For some of you, you need to go to evangelize in the coffee shops. You're the ones who need to go and tell. For some of you, you need to express care for the vulnerable and the oppressed. That's your call. For some of you, you need to start teaching others how to swim in the Bible the same way you were taught. These are all unique hows. Just don't ever lose the what of following Jesus, which is to tell others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you have a what to do. You have an assignment. You have a job to do, and it's in that job, the going with the gospel of God's grace, that you need to remain and you must dwell. No matter what year it is, no matter what you've been through or what lies ahead, that's where you should dwell. To recap, close, and descend here from Paul's example in Acts 20, here's your big takeaway. Here's the main idea. Glance back, glance ahead, but go always with the gospel. It's okay to look back to past years from time to time, but do not dwell there. It's okay to glance ahead from time to time, but do not dwell there. Instead, your call today is to go with the gospel. To run this home, I have a challenge for each of you as we go. I want you to commit to something. I want you to commit to doing at least one thing, one little itty-bitty thing, before the ball drops on Tuesday night. You will inevitably be in a conversation with someone over the next few days about 2024 or about 2025 or about New Year's resolutions. To go straight to the triple dog dare of A Christmas Story, my triple dog dare for you is to intentionally weave in the good news of the wonderful grace of God. Look, just mention God's name. Mention what you're saved from. Mention what you're saved to. Just mention grace, the fact that what you have was undeserved. Look for opportunities to share what you believe with someone else. Commit to doing that. You have 2 days. The challenge has been set before you. If you have the outline, at the very bottom of the outline, I left kind of a statement and a blank. For some of you, you've already been thinking about someone by name that you need to talk to. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, by the way. If there's someone that comes to your mind like, I've been putting off talking with so-and-so, or I've talked with them a million times, maybe I need to talk with them a million and one about Jesus. Write their name in that blank. Now I will talk to so-and-so about the good news. It's up to you now. Paul's assignment, Paul's ministry is now yours. Go always with the gospel, telling others how they can find and follow Jesus too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this moment in time. Thank you for this opportunity to hear from you through the Apostle Paul. God, we thank you for the gift of grace. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. You gave it because you loved us. God, we thank you that you know us by name and have called us according to your will and your purpose. Lord, I pray this morning that you would cause us to be a people who dwell in the assignment to tell others what we believe. Some pretty big words from Paul. He thought his life was worth nothing without this. And I pray that you would move us to have that same view, to see true worth in sharing what we believe. God, we love you. We thank you for this year. As good or as hard as it was, we thank you. God, we thank you for the year ahead and all that you're going to do and all the mountaintops and all the valleys. God, we thank you because we know you'll be there. But we thank you for this moment in time. As we go from this place and see people in the stores, in the shops, in our homes, out at parties and get-togethers, we thank you for these opportunities to be a blessing. And now we pray that your Holy Spirit would not let us sleep until we do. That there'd be something we can't shake off. Make us compelled to love others the way you love us. We pray in Jesus' holy name, amen. As we transition to communion now, we do communion each week here at Bridges. You know, throughout Jesus' ministry on earth, Jesus took ordinary things and used them for extraordinary purposes. And one of my favorite passages to use as a communion meditation comes from 1 Corinthians 11. Paul again talking here. We'll look at 23 and 25 first. Paul says this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, relationship restored. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.' Look, this is no longer mere bread and juice. They are now extraordinary means of remembering Jesus in this moment." Paul goes on to say, to write in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, he says, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes." Other versions say that you're proclaiming. You're announcing something. So this is no longer mere eating and drinking. You are announcing Jesus's promise to return in this moment. So take, eat, pray on these things. Remember personally, but announce publicly. In a moment, I'll pray and you can come and get the elements. You can take them back to your seats. You can pray together in groups. You can sit where you're at. take this moment to remember personally, to announce publicly that Jesus is King. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for taking on what I should have taken on, saving me from it. God, we thank you for your body broken for us. We thank you for your blood shed for us. And we announce right now publicly to one another that you are Lord. You are sovereign. And that you're coming back. And we thank you that the cross was not the end of the story. We thank you that you are not yet done with your people. So we pray your blessing on this time as we remember and announce. In Jesus' name, amen. Come get the elements when you're ready.